I guess if I don't do the tasking, then nobody's been tasked with it. Pardon me. Would you? Thank you. Would you? I think the microphone is better up there, and it's not. Thank you, Donna. Thanks.
In the beginning, there was the Word. The Word was in God's presence, and the Word was God. The Word was present to God from the beginning. Through the Word, all things came into being, and apart from the Word, nothing came into being that has come into being. In the Word was life, and that life was humanity's light, a light that shines in the darkness, a light that the darkness has never overtaken. Then came the one named John, sent as an envoy from God, who came as a witness to testify about the light, so that through his testimony everyone might believe. He himself wasn't the light. He only came to testify about the light, the true light that illumines all humankind. The Word was coming into the world, was in the world, and though the world was made through the world didn't recognize it. Though the Word came to its own realm, the Word's own people didn't accept it. Yet any who did accept the Word, who believed in that name, were empowered to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor urge of flesh, nor human will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and stayed for a little while among us. We saw the Word's glory, the favor and position a parent gives an only child, filled with grace, filled with truth. John testified by proclaiming, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'The one who comes after me ranks ahead of me, for this one existed before I did.' Of this one's fullness, we've all had a share, gift on top of gift. For while the law was given through Moses, the gift and the truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only begotten, ever at Abba's side, who revealed God to us."
Let's pray. Holy One, we've heard your word, and now we would like to experience it. Please bless our hearts and our minds. Amen. So you heard it in a different form this morning. Many of us have heard there was a man who was sent from God whose name was John. He came to witness to the light so that all might believe through him. So, if you were to hear that passage without knowing who John the Baptist was, you might not suspect that he was the mangy character that you know John to be. You see what we have there? That's a Christmas ornament that somebody gave to me a number of years ago. There he is. John the Baptist. How many people here have John the Baptist on their Christmas tree? Once we get a tree up, there he goes. Well, maybe, because we have a cat this year, and so I'm afraid. Anyway. So I have joked before that every Christmas you have to get by John the Baptist before you hang up any other Christmas tree decorations. John comes out of the desert. And he comes striding out of the desert, and he's been eating locusts and wild honey. Anybody here eaten a locust? Me neither. If I got some and roasted them, would you try it? First of all, I don't know where to get them, but we might. Anyway, that's what he's doing. And he's wild and woolly, and he's eating locusts and wild honey. These days we might say he's living rough. He's out there. He doesn't have like a home. Off the grid. Seriously off the grid. I am pretty sure that this is not what his parents dreamed for him. It was prophesied that he, when he was born, was going to be a prophet of the Most High. His dad, a priest named Zechariah, and his mom, Elizabeth, I'm pretty sure this is not what their hopes and dreams didn't culminate in this. But here he comes. He's full of fervor and the Spirit. And I was going to say he's full of piss and vinegar, but I'm pretty sure you can't say that in church. So consider it not said. He insists, he's got a message from God, and the message is, prepare the way. There's somebody coming after me that you won't even believe how amazing he is. He's coming from God, and I'm here to prepare the way. This is not the message that you usually get on a Christmas card, right? In one of the other versions, it has John the Baptist saying, ye brood of vipers, who warned ye of the wrath to come? Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. With love. Anybody got a Christmas card like that? No, we didn't either. But there we go. He told people that hope was on the way. But they had to get ready first. They had stuff they had to do. They had to kind of clear off the messy kitchen counter of their lives. Anybody have one of those? And prepare a spot for the light that enlightens the world. This had me thinking about the way God sends messages. I mean, come on. God sent a message like this? Occasionally we'll hear about God sending a message in a still, small voice. Maybe you've had that, where you're in prayer or in silence, and you just have a message that you know is from God. Sometimes the voice of the Holy will speak to you through the natural world, on a walk or on a hike, through a bird, through the silence, through the wind, through the stillness of creation, or even the violence and chaos of creation. God can speak and send messages that way. Every now and then, people say that they've received some kind of a message or a word of hope or a word of getting cuffed upside the head from Scripture or a friend. Have you ever had a friend tell you the truth? But yeah, those can be messages from God. Or in the chaos, in silence or chaos, occasionally, God might even speak to you in church through a sermon. You never know. God speaks in the darndest places. I have a couple of examples of times when God has spoken to me. And when I worked in Scarborough United in Calgary, I met a lot of people who experienced homelessness. Now, there's kind of a code on the street, and I found this out when I was working in Scarborough. Scarborough was on the bottle-picking route, on one of the routes. In the city, if you are somebody who picks up bottles for a living, then you have a certain route that you follow. And it is exceedingly bad form for anybody else to go to those places because they're your places. So we had, for a long time, we had somebody named Marshall who came to pick up bottles. And then when he moved or went away, somebody named Gordon took his place. Now, neither Marshall nor Gordon can be said to be perfect human beings. Hands up anybody here who is a perfect human. Didn't think so. Anyway, but Gordon, he lived rough. But I remember his smile and his sense of humor and his kindness and his faith. He had a deep faith and his love. He gave me a little note on a napkin once. It said, I have it posted at home in one of my offices. Love you, Lee, just as Jesus does. Just a pure faith. He brought the word of hope to a lot of people. And then he died on the street. Some kind of accident where he fell. And we were all devastated. But his life continues to speak. I have another example that's maybe more religious, of a time when God spoke. Some of you know the author Sarah Bessie. She's recently moved to Calgary. I was recently at an event that she put. She was there as a resource person. Pardon me. But she wrote a book called Miracles and Other Reasonable Things. Sarah is an evangelical, and she honestly relays her distrust of all things Roman Catholic. I know we have some Catholic sensibilities in the building, so stick with me. Particularly what she didn't like, or she doesn't like about Catholics, is the closed table. That is, the Eucharist, the communion, is only available to Catholics. And she was, you know, upset about that and distrusting of that. And she went quite on for quite a bit in her book about that. And then somehow, through some acquaintance and some of the books that she's written and et cetera, she got invited to go to Rome to meet the Pope. Now, I have to commend this book to you because it's a great read. I couldn't put it down. It was so delightful. You know, when you read a book and it's just full of delight, it's called Miracles and Other Reasonable Things, Sarah Bessie. She tells the story that she and her evangelical self and her husband, who used to be a pastor in a mega church, they experienced what evangelicals will call the word of the Lord. Now, this is a thing where God will give somebody a message to take to somebody else. And that person will say, I have the word of the Lord for you. Ron or Donna, I have the word of the Lord for you. The word of the Lord came to Sarah in Rome from two Catholic priests. And not only that, she had had a terrible accident and a terrible physical ailment as a result of that car accident, and she experienced from these two priests physical healing. All right, I'm going to commend the book to you because it's a great story. But she was absolutely shocked. Now, she can get messages and healing and things from God from all kinds of places, from prayer and from dance and from beauty, but boy, she sure didn't expect it to come from Catholics. It was a shock. Go figure that God would surprise her like that. Because God is in the business of surprises, of turning something out of nothing, of sending you a message where you could not believe it would happen before. In the same way that you might have been shocked to experience the word of God coming from somebody who sleeps under boxes in a parking garage, God's in the business of surprises. So whether it's the presence of the holy and that comes flying out of the desert or through a religious group that you don't respect, or in silence or in chaos, God does send messages. Surprisingly, comfort or a cuff upside the head, something that says, get your act together, or something that says, I'm here for you. God's messages do come through. And so that's what I'm going to ask you today. When has God surprised you with a message from a place you didn't expect? Comfort, or a get your act together, or a John the Baptist, or a priest? I invite you to ponder those things. The surprises that God has had for you, the John the Baptist, the still small voice. And then, if you would like, to write one or two of those times, instances, and or messages on the little blue paper. Now, I have to remind you that sometimes when you're invited to participate, one way to participate is by observation or in sitting in the Spirit of the Lord. If you would like to write down one of the experiences that you've had that where God has surprised you, I invite you to do that now. Now, I have some papers that I don't know if everybody picked one up. Nah? Okay. Thank you, Kim. Should I just pass them around or have some people pass them around? Okay, some people have an orange one. And thank you very much. Thank you. Some people have an orange one. We'll have to keep them straight from last week's. And so what we've been doing is we're gathering up and in the office, they're collating them. You don't have to put your name on it or the date or anything. Just I'll give you a few minutes to think about a surprising time.